Falcon Cast Podcast, the ultimate podcast for the ultimate fan. Now, here's AtlantaFalcons.com's own Jay Adams and Daniel Cox.
Falcons fans, do not adjust your screens. This is the Falcon Cast Podcast. As we told you last week, we are going to video. This is a big, huge day for Daniel and I.
Yes.
Jay Adams, Daniel Cox.
Yes, yes.
We are here coming to you live from the funeral parlor. We're going to have a studio
here.
Organ
in the corner.
Yeah. We got the organ in the corner. Paul Bearer and The Undertaker will be here shortly to join us. But we will have a studio here shortly. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. This is a brand new day in the life of the Falcon Cast podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Absolutely. And what better timing, huh?
What better timing, because it is the first week of the regular season that we're preparing for. So we're kicking all sorts of things off this week, let me tell you. But this is great because you'll get to see – well, okay, it's not going to be – it'll be all right.
It's great for some people.
It's great for some people. I don't know. But you'll get to see what we do during the podcast, and it's usually looking things up.
Yeah.
Texting people.
Yeah.
Tweeting.
Checking out for a minute.
Zoning out.
As Jay speaks.
Yep. Yeah. So you'll get to see all of that now with cameras and video and all that kind of stuff. So – as you mentioned, first week of the regular season is upon us. We are heading down to New Orleans for a 1 p.m. Eastern matchup at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the rival New Orleans Saints.
Yes,
it's one of those you circle it on the calendar.
Yeah, and this year it comes first, and it's kind of a good way to start. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. We kick off things against the Saints and the fans. They've taken to Twitter already, you know, some of which we cannot repeat.
No, we can't. You know, that's what Twitter's for. We'll leave it on Twitter.
Absolutely. But no love lost between these two fans
and
these two teams. But it's going to be pretty interesting, I think. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Week one. Yeah. It's really exciting. So should we introduce our friend? We're gonna start
collection of
tchotchkes here on the podcast. And today we've got. Well, why don't you introduce this? You got this yesterday, right?
Yes.
Julio Jones bobblehead, which is available at Mellow Mushroom locations.
I suddenly feel like I'm on QVC.
I know, right? It'll do your laundry. It'll take the stains out of your clothes. There's the Julio Jones bobblehead. There's the start of our collection. If you have anything that you would like to see on the podcast, send it to us.
Yes.
We will put it on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Literally. Like,
absolutely.
Tweet us and say, hey, I got this really cool thing from like 1987.
Car keys in here.
We've got one of our interns' car keys. We're actually auctioning off a car right now. You can tweet your bids to Daniel Cox. But so we've got a car key there. So that's our start. So if you've got like some visor from like 1987 that's like really worn and, you know, whatever, send it. We'll put it on the podcast. It'll be on the set. So that's the start of our collection there. But if you're interested in this bobblehead, Mellow Mushroom is the place to get them. So, all right. Well, let's start things out. We're going back to last year with this segment.
Yeah, it was such a hit.
It was such a hit that we are bringing it back because it is so original. But we are going to get into a buy or sell segment where buying is something that we – let's explain this.
If we agree,
we will buy. If we disagree with the statement, we will sell it.
Yes.
Sell the whole thing.
Yes. The fun thing about this is usually these buy and sell statements are absurdities.
Yeah, but what's really funny is that I don't know in the history of buy or sell on the Falcon Cast podcast have you or I ever come up with a definitive buy or sell. It's always like, you know, well, maybe I buy in this case, I sell in this case. So
notorious fence sitters.
Yes, we are. We sit on the fence proudly on a lot of issues. But we're going to try to be pretty definitive here. Can we try that?
Absolutely. I'm looking at my computer because I'm prepared to be definitive, especially with this first one.
Okay, so let's get this first one going here. All right, here is the first statement in buy or sell. All right, no wins in the preseason. The Falcons went 0-4 in the preseason. No wins in the preseason means no Super Bowl. Do you buy or sell that?
I sell that.
I agree, but I'm going to let you explain it first.
I would bang on this table, but
no, don't do that.
That's probably a bad idea. No wins in the Super Bowl. What have we heard since the? I'm sorry. No wins in the preseason. What have we heard since the preseason ended? What? No Super Bowl champ has ever won the Super Bowl and not won a preseason game.
Right.
All right. Well, that's. I don't. That's like an urban myth kind of. It seems like it's so irrelevant. The preseason. What do we hear that so often? The preseason doesn't matter as far as wins and losses, and it's only about evaluation of players, right?
Right.
So what does that have to do with the Super Bowl?
I don't know. It's like trying to equate like the way you tie your shoes is the reason you lost a game. Like to me, it just one thing just doesn't have anything to do with the other. I think. You play the preseason for a completely different reason than you play the regular season. You're playing the regular season to win games, all right? You're going through game planning. You're getting your best personnel out there. You're getting your best plays out there for the defense that you're facing or, in the other case, for the offense that you're facing. I think it's a completely different animal. When you are – and we heard head coach Mike Smith mention this so much during the preseason, is that your preseason, you are evaluating. It's a constant evaluation, okay? So – what you're trying to do is you're trying to see how players react in these positions, especially these bubble players. And we saw this year, I mean, the team took on more undrafted free agents than I've seen in my four years here. You had four undrafted guys on the 53-man roster from this year. Now you're down to three. But I really think that, you know, a lot of this preseason, and we heard it so much, was just about evaluating these guys. There were so many players, there was so much talent on this crew of undrafted rookies that the coaching staff wanted to get these guys in these situations, see how things would play out. And I think it worked. I mean, everybody, if you're looking at the preseason as far as wins and losses, I think you're looking at it the completely wrong way. I think it's a success because you found four guys that you wanted to have on your 53-man roster.
Absolutely.
And look at the practice squad. You've got a load of those guys on your practice squad now who you want to develop. I think that's a huge success for the Falcons. And I don't buy this idea that no wins in the preseason means no Super Bowl. I think that it's two completely different things. It's apples and oranges to me.
I mean, I'll make it easy for you. Would you agree that Coach Smith has had a good run with the Falcons
in
the regular season?
I would buy that.
Okay, Coach Smith is 6-18 in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So
that, I mean, that tells you basically
it's not the first time they're going 0-4 either. So
right, I don't buy this at all. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of comments about it in the preseason, and certainly, you know, there are things out there that the team is going to want to work on. They're going to want to improve on. But I in no way think that the preseason is going to have any bearing on the regular season.
Yeah.
It's all a chance to see what these guys can do out there under different circumstances. And I think, again, to me it was a success because you got a load of players that you want to develop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so let's move on
to We agreed.
We agreed, and we were definitive. Bought.
Good job.
So, okay.
Good job.
All right, we're going to move on to the next one. The next statement is 19 interceptions last year for Drew Brees means that he is on the decline.
Ooh.
That's quite a statement.
That's
quite a statement.
Yeah, Drew Brees being the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints.
Yes, of course.
It is.
So what do we think here? What are you going with? I'll make it easy on you.
Okay.
I'll sell that all day.
Really?
Yes. I in no way think that Drew Brees is on the decline. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks out there, top five at the very least. He's always dangerous, always tough, you know. And what's funny is that you see him in person, and he's not a real tall guy. He's not, you know, Matt's got some height to him, but Drew is a little shorter. You think, oh, it's going to be really hard for this guy to see over his offensive line, but he's just so good at finding his receivers and so good at knowing where his guys are going to be that, I mean, you've seen it in past years where, you know, he hasn't had really that top flight wide receiver, but he's made other wide receivers look like they're top flight. And I think you see that when you've seen some of his receivers go on to other teams and just not, they don't produce the same way.
Yeah.
So I will sell all day that he is on the decline. I do not think that is true.
I'll sell it too, but it's a soft sell.
Soft sell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I say that, but you know, there will come a point where he is going to decline. I mean, he's 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrown more interceptions in the last 3 years than he has like in any 3 year, you know, totals, like chunks of totals in his career. He had 22 interceptions in 2010 and 14, and then he had 19 last year, like we said here. So that's, I don't know. He's always thrown a lot of double-digit sacks or interceptions to begin with, but I don't know. I guess it's just a gut feeling. Really, it's just something that just kind of I can't really ignore. But it
sure.
I just feel like this year is going to be one of those, you know, one or two ticks in the other direction for this guy.
Okay. I mean, look, it's natural. It happens with all players. I mean, he's 34. I'm 31. In family, I am on the decline. Let me make no mistake about it. I am on the decline.
Right.
So the fact that he's 34 and he's still producing like he is really amazing. I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's I like watching him play. I don't like watching him in recent years.
No,
because
no.
we haven't had a whole lot of success against him. However, you know, I think he's just as productive. But you know, it'll be interesting to see what comes next for him. So
I think what comes next for him.
Wheelie Moe
interceptions.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping. All right, last buy or sell topic.
Yes,
Joppolo Bartu, the undrafted rookie linebacker out of Texas State. Shouts out to Texas State, right?
Yeah. Yes,
they are the Bobcats. If you didn't know that, now you know.
Yes.
All right, Joppolo Bartu is the secret answer to Pro Bowl tight end Jimmy Graham.
Hmm.
This is an interesting one.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to have to explain before I make a decision, because I got to talk my way into whether I'm going to buy or sell this, because I don't know right off the bat. All right?
Okay.
So I'm going to try to convince myself one way or the other here just by putting my brain into autopilot here. All right. So Joppolo Bartu, undrafted rookie out of Texas State, played linebacker at Texas State, and we've said this a million times before, had 62 tackles in his final four games of his college career, which, do the math on that. I'm not good at math. I'm not going to do math, but I had somebody do it for me, and the average is astronomical. So he is a real special talent. We saw during the preseason that he can do so many things, and I think and I've said this a million times before, okay, so we've got Paul Warlow, the other undrafted linebacker. I think you're going to see a lot where he's going to really add to the stat line. Okay. He's going to be your guy. He's going to end up with 10, 11 tackles, whatever. All right. Bartu, I think, is going to be more silent in the stat line simply because he is more of a coverage guy. And we saw the Falcons use him as their dime guy during the preseason. So I feel like that's going to be his role as a substitution kind of guy. But It really is going to depend, because, you know, the thing is, you talk about Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham is a real special talent, okay? I mean, he's one of the top tight ends in the league right now. So you're talking about an undrafted rookie against a Pro Bowl tight end. I think that's a tough matchup to go with the rookie on. But Bartu has free safety experience, okay? So he knows how to cover, and I think that's where you're really going to see his impact is in coverage. And you know, that's your job as an outside linebacker is to cover some of these tight ends. So one way or another, I think that matchup's going to happen in this game. But as far as who comes out on top, I don't know. I don't know if he's a secret answer. I'm sitting on the fence on this one. I don't have a buy or sell or anything on this one.
I think you're selling it.
Am I selling it?
Yeah.
Does it sound like
if you take the statement for what it's saying?
And that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to talk it out and see what happens. Yeah. I'm going to sell it, but I'm going to soft sell. And I'm only going to soft sell only because there's a lot of questions as far as what Bartu can do in the regular season and against, you know, this top flight talent. I mean, it's going to be a great test for him.
Absolutely.
Just like we saw with Alfred a couple of weeks ago in the preseason, it's all a learning experience for some of these young guys. And I think, you know, there's no better education to get than against a guy like Jimmy Graham. So we will see.
Yeah.
We will see. But I'll soft sell it if you're going to force me into a decision here.
You do have to make a decision. I'm going to sell it just like you. Not quite as soft as you. Okay. I just don't buy the fact that, you know, the Falcons brought him on solely to just defend Jimmy Graham, which maybe I'm taking that statement a little too literally, but I feel like the Falcons, I wouldn't say luck, it's just a kind of a perfect storm of finding a guy like Bartu that's got the skill set that he's got, and at a time of need for the Falcons, you know, they obviously need to improve defending the tight end.
Sure.
Bartu showed an ability to do those kinds of things, have that skill set with that coverage ability, but I don't think he's here just to defend Jimmy Graham. I think he's here to defend, you know, a number of other tight ends as well. But I don't think he's a secret answer. I think you're right about the fact that we're going to see some ups and downs, some growing
sure.
pains when he's on the field in some of those, you know, two linebacker sets. So
yeah.
I'm not going to say – I'm selling the fact that he's a secret answer to Jimmy Graham, but I'm very curious to see what he does against that guy.
I'm excited about this kid, and I know a lot of Falcons fans are excited about him just from what we've seen of him in the preseason and the other undrafted rookie linebacker, Paul Warlow. Two guys that, you know, you gotta keep your eye on here because, I mean, they're thrust into a huge role right now backing up some talented linebackers already, but you know, they're going to see some time, especially they're going to see special teams time. But I think in sub packages, you're going to see those guys on the field on defense.
I think the fact that they're on the roster, being undrafted guys like that, really shows the trust that the coaching staff has in them, which is I think is a credit to those guys. You know, the two players, because like you say, they're the only backups. There's you know, the three starters, and that's it.
That's it.
Warlow and Bartu, and that's who they're
going. And you don't have a practice squad linebacker,
exactly.
So, I mean, you're riding with these guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a huge statement of confidence that the coaching staff made in these two young players, and I'm excited. Their upside is huge.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think that can be overstated. So, all right, so well, that's the end of buy or sell. I think we made it through
that.
All right, so now we're going to move on to which is better.
Which is better.
Which is better.
Which is better.
Listen, we're presented two options, and we decide which one's better. So we're going to start out with the better play of the preseason. Okay, and we got two both from the same game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so first play. Running back Josh Vaughn, 65-yard touchdown run against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was Vaughn's first run of the entire game. Took it to the house, 65 mm-hmm. yards. It was a heck of a play. His first touchdown of the preseason.
I believe so.
His only touchdown of the preseason. So that's our first option. And the next option, Jonathan Massaquoi's sack, forced fumble, recovery and touchdown versus the Jaguars, which we found out from our good friend Matt Moore on the digital media staff.
Yes.
He confirmed this with Dave Archer, and he confirmed this with Chuck Smith, mm-hmm. Former Falcons defensive end. That play is known as the Big Kahuna.
Among NFL players, for some reason?
It's the Big Kahuna.
Yes.
That the sack, the strip, the recovery, and the touchdown, Big Kahuna. So now that's another thing that you know.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what a Kahuna is?
I don't, but I'm kind of afraid.
Do you want to know?
Are you Googling this right now?
No, I've already Googled it. I've already Googled it. I have it ready.
So you know what a Kahuna is?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a Hawaiian word.
Okay.
It refers to a priest, sorcerer, magician, wizard, minister, or expert in any profession.
So you're a bit of a kahuna as an expert in your profession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you said you wanted to stay away from silly radio names, but I think you just adopted one right there. So, all right, let's get on to this.
We can do better.
All right, which play was better? I think for me, I'm going to go with Massaquoi's play just because it is such a rare thing for you to get the sack, get the strip, pick up the ball, run it into the end zone. It was only a 9-yard return, but still just an amazing play all around. I love Josh Vaughn's run. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great run, and huge credit to the offensive line.
Yeah,
I believe he ran it on the left side,
he
to
did.
His left side.
Through the gap.
It was right between, I think, tackle and guard. Mm-hmm. But a heck of a run, heck of a group of blockers on that play. But just what Massaquoi was able to do in that one play, I think, just stands above any other play in the preseason.
It was a heads-up play, and he
– huge.
You know, this guy has moved on to another team, John Abraham. He was so good at the sack and the strip, and I felt like Jonathan Massaquoi showed flashes of that, you know, on that play, because he was there, and the quarterback was trying to get away, was scrambling. It wasn't scrambling, but he was, you know, beginning to try to make some moves to get away, and Massaquoi had him. And I loved – and I guess I should tell you that I agree with you.
Okay.
The strip – I've been trying to say this. I don't know if I can do it. The strip, sack, scoop, and score.
There you go.
There we go.
It's like the five Ds of dodgeball.
Yes, the four Ss of the Big Kahuna.
The four Ss of the Big Kahuna.
Jonathan Massaquoi accomplished them all, and it was really impressive. But – when the ball fell out, he palmed it. Like, he didn't really scoop it. He put his hand on top of it.
Well, picked it up. You've shaken hands with him before, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like Malachi Goodman. Okay, so we know Malachi Goodman has these ridiculously huge hands. I think 11 and a half inches or something like that.
Yeah.
Massaquoi's not far behind him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he could palm your entire head and I think just pick you right up.
Yeah. And one other thing about
we're going to do that in open locker room.
Okay.
Actually,
for you only, not me.
Okay. He's going
to. I'm sure he'd be happy to do that.
Okay,
but yeah, that was such a beautiful play. It was fantastic to watch, and I like you said, you know, credit to Josh Vaughn. That was a really nice play. He saw that and he made that happen. But Jonathan Massaquoi, it's so rare. I think he said it's never happened to him in his entire career. And one other thing on Jonathan Massaquoi, you know, I've talked about him, so it's obvious how I feel about him, but. You know, not just the play that we've seen from him on the field, but like from a locker room perspective and, you know, speaking to him. You know, we have the opportunity to talk to him a little bit more this year because he's been playing a little bit more. He's a little more involved. The personality on that guy is a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's a great guy to talk to.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so now we're going to move on to a really important topic.
Yes.
I think this is one that it's long overdue for us to
discuss. It's been
burning
through the preseason.
Really is.
It needs to be settled.
We need to address this, okay? It's going to be a very serious topic, very serious conversation. I want you to get your serious pants on.
Yes, they are.
Okay?
They are definitely.
Because we are going to get serious about the better beard. Who has the better beard between Sam Baker and Stephen Nicholas?
Yeah.
Both with, might I add, illustrious beards.
Yes.
Daniel and I are beard men.
Yes.
Well, I got rid of mine. A few days ago, but I'm going to bring it back.
Okay.
But I'm a more of a chin strap guy.
Yes.
You're more of an all natural, willy nilly kind of guy. But
whatever
you can
happens,
do that.
Happens.
Yeah. You can do that. I cannot grow a mustache if you paid me. Wow. And your mustache is glorious, my dad.
I appreciate that.
So I admire those who are able to grow. Fantastic and majestic beards. So we're going to talk who has a better beard. I really think that, you know, it's a toss-up, but I'm going to go with experience on this one, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to go with experience on this one, and I'm going to go with Sam Baker. I'm going to say he has the better beard, okay, because you look a little disappointed that I said that.
No, I'm not.
I'm not going to lie. I picked up your side.
Yeah.
All right? Listen. Baker's been growing a beard.
I think you're intimidated by Baker's beard. Thus,
who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? I have beard envy looking at him.
Yeah.
I love the beard. He's been growing it for a long time. He shaved it off a couple of years ago for the Movember movement, which is to raise awareness for prostate cancer. But he's grown it back. It is back in its full glory. And I believe that there's some like kind of magical power that comes with it. I'm not going to lie. I feel like there's something there. And I also feel like he could, you know, probably house a family of birds. There's kind of a bird sanctuary.
Absolutely.
Inside of that
thing. I see Sam Baker's beard and it comes down so low. I feel like you can like pull back the curtains and there's like a flat screen there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's something. I mean, there's definitely a secret and we'll never know it.
No. But he doesn't like to talk about his beard.
No. That's why I'm kind of afraid that we've even brought it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Stephen Nicholas, great beard. I like the effort. I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball here, though, and I'm going to present a third possible option.
Okay.
And you're just going to have to go off memory because I see you looking at photos over here. But I'm going to go with I like the effort shown by Dominique Franks. Nice beard right now. Really nice beard. And he's like you, kind of gone all natural, just let it go. He had the camp beard going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's still got it. I don't know that he's going to let go of it, but that thing is bushy.
He gets a lot of coverage.
A lot of coverage on that beard.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just going to throw him out there as kind of like the underrated beard guy.
Fair enough. Because I'm going to disagree with you, so this is, of course, going to need to be settled on Twitter.
Yes.
So
please tweet us and let us know.
Share your thoughts. I prefer Stephen Nicholas's beard. It's tailored really well.
Okay.
He has you speak about mustaches. He has a thin one that goes over the top of his lip. It's much more manicured than Sam Baker's. But I love the thing I love the most is that it kind of comes into a point.
Yeah,
it makes Stephen Nicholas's face look very angular, and I probably should stop there. But I just love the shape of it. It's not as lumberjack-esque as Sam Baker's.
Okay. So. Listen, where else are you going to get analysis like this?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Right? I don't know that I can show my face.
Yeah, I mean,
around Stephen Nicholas,
you're gonna have a hard time. You have a hard time. All right, so you got Nicholas. I've got Baker.
Yes, and Dominique Franks is now the wild card.
And Dominique Franks is the wild card.
Settle
the score. Tweet us your thoughts. I'm sure we can put our Twitter handles up on the board there. But that was which is better.
Which is better,
or buy or sell? Or our next topic, which is the segment, which is lightning round.
Yes, where we try to speak very quickly.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Yes. All right, here's the deal. We've got some of your Twitter questions, and we are going to answer those questions. We are going to be given 20 seconds each to answer these questions. We've got our timer off camera, and we are going to do our best to answer these questions with brevity and in a succinct manner.
Okay. So I will read the Twitter question to you, Jay.
All right.
And I will tell you to go.
Okay.
How's
clock,
that?
Are we ready?
Yeah.
We're ready with the clock.
Scorekeeper.
All right. So it's after the question is read, right?
Yes. You must answer it.
Okay.
With a legitimate answer.
Okay.
In 20 seconds.
All right.
Can you see that okay?
Yes, I can.
You need me to hold it for
okay. No, I'm just doing my Dave Archer impression right now. All right, go ahead.
So question number one is from MWM 1977. I think the Saints game is a statement game. Yes, it's the first week, but it's our rival. Sets the tone for the season.
Okay.
What is your response to that?
All right. Go? Go?
Go.
Go. All right. So, yes, I agree that it's going to set the tone. It's our first game of the season. I love the fact that it's going to set the tone. You win this game, it puts you on a great trajectory going into the rest of the season. It's one of those things where you feel like your rival may stumble a little bit after this game. So I think if you win, it's great.
What's the official?
I think we might have gone like 24 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
All right. It's tough. It's not easy.
Not a great way
it's
to
not
start.
Easy. It's not easy. All right, so here we go. Here's our second question from Pekanaut 77. Yours is easy.
Yeah.
What's Dirk Cutter's record against Rob Ryan? I mean, this is going to take you less than 20 seconds, but we'll say go now.
Okay, I'm doing this completely off the top of my head. He's faced Rob Ryan three times as a coordinator, and when Rob Ryan was a coordinator as well, and that was three times 2-1 against Rob Ryan with time to spare.
I don't like the way you set this. So you got me doing analysis and you spitting off facts. All right. So 2-1
though. He faced him in Cleveland in 2009.
You're still giving your answer.
I'm just saying. Okay. All right. That's fine. 2-1. Look, you can look it up if you'd like. But
that was definitely more than 20 seconds.
It's 2-1 against Rob Ryan.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go on to my next question.
Completely off the top of my head. Here's number two.
Yeah.
At Lucas Delay, he asks, how do the young corners hold up against Drew Brees? Will the D-line give them enough help? Go.
Okay. All right. I think you're going to see a lot more of Desmond Trufant than you're going to see of Robert Alford, although it's yet to be seen how much Alford is going to play, if it's going to be in the nickel or if Robert McClain is going to be there. I think the defensive line is going to give them help because Croy Bierman is one of those guys who can do a lot of different things, and it's going to be hard to prepare for a guy like that. So I think that the rookie corner is going to do really, really well. Boom!
That was impressive. I'm going to get a Julio Jones hip bobble there.
He was like, oh, yeah.
That was really good. Yeah.
All right. You see that? Now, all right. Here is your question, which is another factual question. It's not even factual. It's more of your opinion. You can say yes or no. All right. Question two for Daniel from Falcons M5, one of our good friends out on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Always witty, so please follow him. All right, so do you think both teams will score more or less than 54 points on Sunday? Go.
Combined? Yeah. That's roughly 25 points per team. I think that's a little higher than an average they accomplished last year. Defenses may be shaky. I don't know. We'll see. But I think absolutely more than 25 points.
With time to spare.
Yeah, again. Of course.
This is
did a nice job.
A conspiracy. Against me.
Your second question, that was...
I nailed it.
You need to go back and watch the tape.
I'm fine with you giving me more difficult things.
Okay.
Because that's when I rise to the occasion.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to do our wrap-up here. We're going to go into our most valuable Falcon. We did this last year. We are going to give you our player who steps up, offense or defense, to make a difference in the game. Player of the game is essentially what we're going for here. So
this year is a little different.
Yeah, we are going to track this.
Yes, we're going to keep score so that
we're going to go hit or miss.
Yeah, competition.
Right? We're going to keep track of this to keep us honest, and we're going to say how many times we've hit, how many times we've missed.
Okay.
And you're going to be able to see that. Yep. So, all right, I'm going to let you go first because I won last year.
I don't think so.
No.
Why don't you go first? Because I'm pretty confident I know who you're going to pick, and I'm just going to go ahead and let you take him, and I'm just going to go with someone else. Okay? Why don't you go first?
All right. My player of the week, I think, is going to be tight end Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, okay.
See, you thought you knew who I was going to take.
That's cool.
And then I took your guy. Tight end Tony Gonzalez. And I'm going to say, here's why. I think Steven Jackson brings such a different element to the passing game as well as the run game. And I think that just because of the number of weapons that you've got to try and contain, and with the Saints defense being what it is right now, you lose Jonathan Vilma. Gallad is kind of unknown what his condition is right now. You make no mistake, you've got some good players on that defense, but I think you've got a rookie safety in Vaccaro, who's probably going to be lined up on Tony for a bit. Your other guy who's probably going to be defending him is a guy like Curtis Lofton, and we're very familiar with how he is able to cover. So I think it's one of those things where, if Roddy is limited at all with his ankle, if Julio is somehow doubled, I think your open guy is going to be Tony Gonzalez all day. Of course, you throw it in his neighborhood, and he's going to come down with it every single time. So I really think – and we've seen traditionally he has very big games against New Orleans. So Tony's going to be my guy. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
All right. Good work.
So you had to pull an audible, didn't you?
No, honest. Not really. Not really.
Be honest.
No, I didn't. I was I thought you were going to pick someone else. I thought you were going to pick the guy that I'm now, the name that I'm about to
okay.
say.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, you can have him then.
Yeah, I got him. Steven Jackson.
Okay. Okay.
What else can I say?
A lot. Let's hear it.
He's going to test the defense. I think that that defense is, you know what they were last year, you know, the places in history and all that. Rob Ryan does have a history of coming in and fixing things and making quick improvements. And I think the Saints fans would probably look at their defense kind of like the Falcons maybe look at theirs as far as the fan base. I don't think anyone necessarily anticipates like a top five defense like right out of the gate. But I think, you know, a league average kind of defense as far as like being able to do a lot of different things and make some stops here and there, I think is the kind of defense that can still keep them in the game. And I think we can see a lot of that from the Falcons too. But I think this year we'll see, you know, some turnovers and things like that. But anyway, I think Steven Jackson is really going to test that defense. I think he's looking really forward to this game. He's said it a couple of times in not quite so obvious words, but he's implied certain things that he's really excited to go to New Orleans and put this team on his back, so to speak. So I think they're going to want to run early like they have tried to accomplish in the past, and I think that based on what we saw in week three of the preseason, I feel like Steven Jackson's is ready to go. I don't think there's any question about, you know, being over the hill as no. we've heard a little bit. But I just see Steven Jackson going in there. And even if he gets 15 carries, do the math real quick on that. What is 15 times 4? You know, 4 yards a carry.
I don't even know.
I think that's going to be all the Falcons need. I could see, 90 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and maybe like 30 yards receiving. I think that's a good Steven Jackson day for this offense.
I agree, because you're not going to be able to stack the box, you know, like you did against him when he was in St. Louis.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It really truly is a pick your poison offense. And I think we might as well coin it that. I mean, everybody calls it that anyways.
Tony calls it that all the time.
You know,
Tony says it.
We've heard the grits blitz defense and
the amoeba defense.
The amoeba defense and all that. And this is the pick your poison offense. And I think you're really going to see that against New Orleans, because you've got so many options there. And like, really, you're taking the leash off of Steven Jackson and Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, and you're doing that, but you're also – this is the first time all these guys have been together.
Yeah.
Been on the field. The preseason and certain times when the starters were playing, and in week three when they got that extended time, Roddy was not out there, I believe.
Right.
Correct. So
Julio did not play the first preseason game. Right. And then Julio played the rest of them, but then, Roddy was out.
Wasn't out.
Right.
Was
and then Tony was gone week one and week two, so – you're right. This is the first time all these guys have been on the field. And let me tell you something. The playbook in the preseason is pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, what you saw in the preseason is not reflective of what you're going to see in the regular season from this offense. So I think both of these guys, the two players that we picked, are primed for big games. And I don't think either one of us is going to lose this week.
Mm-hmm. If I had a second option, it would have been William Moore.
Okay.
He told me a couple weeks ago he wants to go to New Orleans and have a big game. He's had good games against the Saints at home. He wants to do it on the road.
Well, he is always ready.
Yeah. Yeah. He better be.
Yeah. I mean, it's time to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's week one.
It is definitely week one. It is definitely time to go.
Yes.
So we hope you've enjoyed watching us here from the funeral parlor doing the podcast on video.
Yes.
Seeing what all goes through again, you know, we need some tchotchkes. We've got this, you know, we are auctioning off a car. So, because this is one of our intern's keys.
He'll never make that mistake again.
All right. So that's a wrap for this edition of the Falcon Cast. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next week, maybe in our new studio.
Let's hope so.
All right.